I want you to take your Bible, please. I hope you brought your Bible. And let's stand. We're going to honor the reading of God's Word this morning by standing. Let's stand and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Matthew, chapter number 18. Verse number 10. Matthew, chapter 18 and verse number 10. We're going to begin this morning with one verse. Then we'll move on. Most of you that have been here, you know this is the fourth Sunday that I've been preaching on a series entitled Take Heed and Beware. And what we're doing is we're looking at all the places in the Bible where we are either told to take heed to something or to beware with it. This service will wrap up all the take heeds we're going to cover. And then we're going to have a couple of more Sunday mornings where we're going to look at the bewares. And I think that's important because if the Bible tells you that you and I ought to take heed to something, we ought to beware of something, we ought to realize it's a potential problem, we ought to be on guard about it, then that's what it's my responsibility, I believe, then as a preacher and a pastor to bring it to your attention, then it is your responsibility to take it and beware of it. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to cover some of these this morning. And this is where we're going to start off first this morning in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Brother Steve Dowdy, would you please pray that God will bless the message today? Yes. Yes, Lord, please. Yes. Yes. Please, Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the first take heed we're going to look at this morning is that the Bible says that we're to take heed that we don't despise children. Now, I believe Jesus Christ made it very clear that you and I are to be very careful how we treat children. Children were had a special place in the Lord's heart. He said, "Suffer the little children, allow them to come unto me." If you back up in that chapter that we just read verse number 10 out of to verse number 6, I want you to see what else the Lord said about him. He lets you know how serious of a thing it is to offend one of these little ones. He says in verse number 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Jesus Christ said, if you're going to offend or hurt one of these little ones, it'd be better off that you be dead, drowned, than to do that. Now, I want to say something right here. I believe that we live in a society that's developed an attitude toward children that's unbiblical. First of all, we teach as a society that, hey, just go off and have you a fling. And if it don't work out and you have an undue pregnancy or something come up that you didn't expect, just have an abortion. Just kill it. I'm going to tell you something. That's despising children. And I'm going to tell you, I did a study some years ago, and you'd be surprised where the amount of abortions are prevalent. You think it's some teenagers, but it's not. It's women from 25 to 30 who have a career started, who are going places, and finally making some money, graduated from college, heading on up. And then they lie with somebody when they shouldn't have been doing that to begin with. Amen. And then they get pregnant, and then they say, "I can't have a baby. I've got too much ahead of me. I've got too much of a career." And they snuff the life out of that baby. Listen, there is a prevailing attitude in our society today that children are a hindrance. Children are just in the way. Children will stop with your career. Don't have children until you're 35 years old if you ever have them. That's the thing. Listen, that Bible says that they are a blessing from God. And there's some people in here and people I know of that can't have children. And I take very great offense to people with these folks around here that would love to have children and can't have children, to this philosophy and this mindset, especially in our country, that you don't want to have children. You don't want to have children because you want to be freed up to live your life and do what you want to do. Amen. I'm not saying you got to have 15 or 20 of them. But this prevailing attitude and spirit that against children is wrong. It's wrong. There's nothing wrong with the little ones. We ought to love these little kids. We ought to be for these little children. I've seen in churches before where people get upset because little children make a mess and offend them and don't listen. Who cares if they make a mess? Who cares if they mess something up now? If mama's with them and daddy's with them, you ought to stop that. But it's worth them messing up something for us to get a hold of them and be able to preach to them. We ought not despise children. You can despise children and mistreat children by abuse. That's physical abuse. And there is a thing of physical abuse. I know we teach around here that you ought to whip your children. You ought to spank them. You ought to put the rod on them. We still believe that. The Bible still says it. I believe in time out. You take time out to whip them. That's time out. You go, time out, time out. Let me get my switch. I believe in time out. That's abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. I'm going to tell you something. You better watch that stuff. You better watch it. Watch how you talk to your children. Watch how you treat your children. I'm going to tell you something else. This is just one of my points in the message. And I've got it. I'm going to preach it. In this day and time, you don't let everybody, just anybody, watch your children. You don't let just anybody run off with your children. You don't just let your little children just be around anybody. I'm telling you, you can't look at a predator. You don't know what they look like. There's some of them got millions in the bank. There's some of them college educated. They're nice looking. They're not just creepy looking people. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I'm talking to anybody in this congregation today that you got a problem with that, you better crawl up to the altar and you better ask God to help you. And I'm telling you, God said it's better for you to be dead than you fool with one of these little kids. That's right. And it's going on more than you think. I have a lot of respect for anybody that will... Maybe they were in a relationship they shouldn't have been in. Maybe they got pregnant out of wedlock. But they said, hey, two wrongs don't make a right. I messed up. I've asked God to forgive me. And I'm going to raise this baby in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I have a lot of respect for people like that. Ephesians 6:4 says, not to provoke your children to wrath. We are not to provoke our children to wrath. You better be careful how you do your children, daddies. Don't you be too hard on them, daddies. Don't you have a little boy that never hears his daddy say, I'm proud of you. You did a good job. It's probably going to grow up to be a bitter, hard man. That's right. Children are a blessing from God, and we had better take heed, better take warning how we treat them. I'm telling you, that man over there, and I'm going to go on to my next point over there in Midland City, that's got that youngin down in that bunker, he is just storing up wrath on him. He's storing it up. I'm going to tell you, the closest to innocence you'll ever get is a little child. Before they've been corrupted, before they've turn their minds and their hearts toward the world and toward the devil, and they're innocent. And for some adult, some mean, wicked adult that would take advantage of a little child in any way whatsoever, when that child is defenseless and that child is helpless, I'm telling you, you better take heed. If you've got any of that in your heart this morning, if I'm speaking to somebody that's twisted in their thoughts toward children, I'm telling you, you better pray and ask God to help you. Take heed. All right, let's look at the next one this morning. Acts chapter 20. Take your Bible and go to the book of Acts and go to chapter 20. I want to look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 8. Now, the context of this is that Paul is heading to Jerusalem, and his goal is to be there on the day of Pentecost. So he calls the elders of the church in Ephesus. He gathers them together, gives them his farewell address. He's speaking this to the elders, the spiritual leaders in the church in Ephesus. And this is what he says to them. One of the things he says, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. I'm sorry. It says this, Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The next thing we are to do, and this is to preachers mostly. Now, if you're in here and you're a Sunday school teacher, or you're a preacher, or a pastor, or a speaker, or something like that, this is really to you. That Bible says that we are to take heed that we feed the flock. But now I'm going to preach it a little bit to you folks, and I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen very well. My number one job as a pastor ain't to be your errand boy. My number one job as your pastor, which I do it and believe in it and believe pastors that don't do it are wrong, is not to go visit and go to surgeries and have counseling even. And one of my favorite things I love to do in the ministry is counsel. I like it. I believe I can help people. I believe God's gifted me in that area. And most of my preacher friends hate counseling. But I actually like it. I don't know if I'm a sucker for pain or what it is, but I like it. I like to sit down and talk to people. I believe I can help them. But that's not my main job. When you're wondering why I don't answer the phone or whatever, and by the way, let me just put this in here, because some people seem to get offended. You don't realize how many phone calls I get a day. Up until 12:30 and 1 o'clock at night, but sometimes before daylight they start. When somebody calls me sometimes, I'm in the middle of talking to somebody. I'm in the middle of visiting somebody. I will see that call, and I will say, I'm going to call them back later. I can't talk to them right now. I try to leave it out in the truck, because somebody's in the middle of something, and they're really sharing their heart with me, and tears are flowing and trying to talk to me. And all of a sudden, my Charlie Brown theme goes off. That sort of breaks the spirit there, see? But sometimes I will forget. I don't. You think that you're the only one calling me. You don't have no concept of what's going on. You're not the only one calling me. You're in a list of people. And sometimes I will accidentally forget to call you back. I am sorry. It is not intentional. I am not trying to stub my nose at you. I'm not trying to purposely not return your call. If I do that, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to be patient and just call me again. What I do ask you to do is please don't get mad and leave the church. I don't believe that's no reason to leave the church. Now that we got that out of the way, I'm trying to tell you that my number one job as your preacher and your pastor is to feed you the Word of God. And I've heard folks say before, they say, well, my pastor, he's such a good pastor. He is. Oh, yeah, he's so sweet and he's so kind and he visits a lot and he goes to all the surgeries and he calls and he checks on people. Well, what does he preach to you, the Word of God? Well, he's just not that good of a preacher. What you've done is you've overemphasized the minors and underemphasized the major. Your pastor is a good pastor, most importantly, because He feeds you the Word of God. I wouldn't sit 2 minutes in a church up under a preacher that didn't take that King James Bible and teach to me and preach to me the Word of God. And if you leave a church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and you're not being fed the Word of God, you need to find you somewhere else to go. Amen. I am to take heed. You are to take heed, preachers, that you feed the church of God. Whatever you get busy in, go visit. Make your calls. Write your letters. Counsel your people. Do all those things. Meet the appointments to see about making the church better. Check your emails. Correspond with the missionaries. Do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, my number one responsibility and yours as a preacher of the gospel is to feed the people. And if I am so burdened down with doing all the other stuff that I don't have time to study and pray and have myself right and my message right to feed you on Sundays and on Wednesday, I've got a problem with my priorities. So if I don't come see some of you as much as you want me to, or return your calls as quick as you want me to, or all the other stuff as much as you want me to, just remember, I am trying to keep the number one thing, the number one thing that when you get up, every Sunday you show up here, every Sunday night you come, every Wednesday night you show up here, I'm ready to feed you.
Amen.
Every service.
Amen,
that's my number one responsibility. You need to remember that, because that's what it's going to be. All right. Number three, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at our third one. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Now, the context of this stuff is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you read, it actually mentions the judgment seat of Christ in Romans chapter 14 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen, church, I've explained this to you. I appreciate it to you in case there's someone here this morning visiting that's never heard this. The judgment seat of Christ is a different judgment than the white throne. It's two different judgments. The white throne is where people that die in this age without Jesus Christ, if you die lost, you'll be at the white throne. Before you're cast, you'll be taken out of hell, put before God, judged at the white throne, put into the lake of fire. We as Christians, however, are not going to die and go to hell. We're going to go to heaven. However, we are going to face the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where we give an account for how we've lived our Christian life, what we've done with the gifts and the callings and the opportunities that God has given us. And a lot of preachers don't preach that. They get the two confused. They're two separate things. So don't you dare think that just because you're saved now, you're not going to face a judgment. You're going to face one. I'm going to face one. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it like this. It says, let every one of us, and that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us is going to give an account. Now, this is talking about some of that as we stand before God. Because what's going to happen, the works that we've done in a spiritual sense are going to be put in a fire. And whatever works burn up, you don't get any reward for it. And the works that go through the fire, you get a reward for it. It's just that simple. We're going to read that here in a moment. Just because you do something good for the Lord don't mean you're going to get rewarded for it. There's a lot of things involved. Motive is involved. I mean, your motive, your obedience. Did you do exactly what God told you to do, or did you just do it as long as it was comfortable? Your ability. How much ability and talents did God give you? How much resources did you have while you were here on earth? How much opportunity did you have? And what did you do with that opportunity? All that's going to go into account when your works go through the fire. And so they're going to be tried. Now it says down there, and we'll read the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, the foundation is Jesus Christ and his salvation. But after Jesus Christ lays the foundation and we get saved, we are to build upon it in our Christian life. Verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, that sounds good, don't it? Amen. Then you got wood, hay, and stubble. And it tells you, verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. But it tells you that every man is to take heed, in verse number 10, as to what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now here it is. Some people are going to stand before God, and the works they've done is hay, wood, and stubble. How many of you know what happens to hay, wood, and stubble when it hits the fire? Yeah. Boom! It burns up. But how many of you knows what happens when precious stones and gold and silver hits the fire? It refines it, purifies it. It's there. It's going to make it through the fire. And the Bible says that we are to take heed about what we're doing with our works and what we're laying on the foundation. Listen, wouldn't it be a shame to have given a lot of money to God and not get one reward for it in heaven? The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And when you take it out and say, well, I'll give it, but I sure don't want to, and slap it in the plate, go ahead and give it. We want it. It'll still pay the electric bill. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You ain't going to get nothing in heaven for it. A fella comes to church and he does this and he does that. Why did he do it? Well, he done it to be seen. He don't get no reward for that. When you're doing, listen, when you're living your life down here on earth for the Lord, God's looking at your heart. He's looking at, did you do what I told you to do, exactly how I told you to do? Did you have the right motive involved when you did it? Did you take the abilities and the talents I gave you, and did you just use them to make money and bring pleasure to yourself? Or did you use them for the kingdom of God? That's all going to be taken into account. The resources and the opportunity that he gave you. He didn't give me the opportunity he's given some evangelist like Dwight L. Moody or somebody like that. So he's not going to judge me according to that. But he's going to judge me according to the opportunity he gave me and what I did with it and what you did with it. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a sad, sad day to see many of the things we've done burn up. Because they weren't done with the right spirit. They weren't. Folks, think about the judgment seat of Christ. Don't you want to have some heavenly rewards? Don't you want to be able to lay something down at the feet of Jesus? I want to tell you this, and I'll move on to the next point. I know of a man that had not been living for the Lord for a long time. And a preacher friend of mine spoke to this man one day, and he set him down and he called him by name. He said, I just want to ask you, brother, are you sure? Do you know that you're saved? Are you saved? And he looked at my preacher friend. He said, yes, brother. He said, I know I'm saved. He said, but when I die and go to heaven, I ain't going to have a barbed wire crown. And about a month later, that fella died. And by his own confession, he went into eternity with not one thing to lay at Jesus' feet. Ain't that sad? Ain't that sad? Listen. You better take heed to what you do for Christ. You better take heed to your works you lay up for Christ. Quit thinking about what you want. Quit thinking about money for you. You've got one lifetime to do something for Christ. And it's now. So you better take heed now. One more point this morning. We'll be finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. Now, let me tell you the context of this, and we'll read the verse. The context of this is that Paul is speaking about meats that's offered to idols. They used to offer meats to false idols back in these days. And so what he's doing is he's addressing that problem because some people said, hey, you can't eat that meat. You can't eat that meat because it was offered to a false god. And some people are saying, hey, that false god ain't nothing. I can't eat it. So Paul talks about that and he says, look, you can eat it if you want to. You cannot eat it if you want to. It's your choice. You don't judge one another about the thing. He said, it doesn't matter. You know, I can eat that meat that's offered to a false god because I know that false god ain't nothing. He don't pertain to me. I can eat it. But if your conscience offends you and you say, no, I can't touch that meat. That meat was offered to a false god. Then good. Fine. That's fine. You don't eat it. I won't judge you. You don't judge me. That's basically how the thing goes in that chapter. But he does say this. He does say this in verse number 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. What he's saying is this. We have a liberty in Christ. But my liberty in Christ stops at my brother's nose. And I may know some things and I may understand some things, but I don't need to take my liberty that I have in Christ to cause my brother to stumble. Read a few verses here just to make you understand what he's saying. Verse number 10. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. There's some things that we can do, and it's not sinful, and it's not wrong, and we know it's right, but if we know it's going to cause our brother to be offended or to stumble, we are not to do it.
Amen.
Just because we have liberty to do some things don't mean we are to take advantage of that liberty. I was telling you the other Wednesday night about, even though I know the truth about Sunday and what I can do on Sunday, there's certain things I choose not to do on Sunday. If I wanted to get out there and do whatever on Sunday, I can do that. The Bible says that you're not to judge one another about that day. However, I know there's a lot of people that don't have the knowledge about it. They're weak in their biblical understanding of that day. And if they seen Brother Dennis out on the bass lake on Sunday, if they seen Brother Dennis out there washing his car on Sunday, it would offend them. And I'm not going to do it. Because I know it would offend them. I have perfect liberty to do it. It wouldn't be wrong for me to do it. But when I cause my brother to stumble with my liberty, it's wrong. Some of you, you know, you might can have a computer in the house. And maybe you're never tempted to look at anything bad on the computer. But if you got somebody in that house that is, you better watch this floating that thing around them. You know, you have to understand that God's given us grace. God's given us liberty. But I don't take my liberty and the freeness that God's given me and use it just to do whatever I want to. Say, you know what? I don't care what people think. I don't care what they, you know, this is me. I know the truth about this thing and just go through life like a bull in a china shop. There's people that don't know the truth. They're still young, immature Christians growing up. And they do not need to be hindered by you becoming a stumbling block in front of them. They don't. And we need to be careful in this church that we are not a stumbling block to others. And we are not a stumbling block to other Christians. Now, that wraps up the take heed today. Take heed in what you do about children. Take heed, preacher, that you feed your people. We are to take heed that we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and have our works out of the right spirit, the right motive, the right way, doing it exactly how God says it. And let's take heed today that we don't use our liberty that God's given us in Jesus Christ to cause another brother to stumble. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes today if we have the hymn of invitation. And I don't know who may be here today that may need to just come and pray, but whoever...